After that song, I feel like a sermon has just been preached. Is he worthy? I think the supreme interest of every person here, I can say, is in fact knowing God. What could be a better subject? It's a big subject. We're born wondering about God and wanting to know him. As a matter of fact, in the heart of every man is a big gap because he has implanted within him, every man, a hunger to know God. Knowing God is the supreme purpose of man. And life is a journey of knowing him. Now, when we teach about that, you'll have to excuse me if I enter into the teaching mode once in a while. I've been doing it for quite a few years. Now, the first thing we do is we recommend a book. Well, the first book would be the Bible, of course, and that's what we're most interested in. But in regard to those who have studied the Bible the most and approached the subject the most is one called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. I commend it to you as a book that would be well for your soul. There is no book on knowing God that has sold on the secondary market and the Christian market more than this book. And in the subject of knowing God, it is broken down into a few theological categories, though the language isn't theological, and theological teaching will not be the language of our message to you this morning, but I think it will help you to set a background for you. We usually identify knowing God on the basis of three things. One is his omnipresence, meaning his availability and access to us as part of his creation. One is his omnipotence, and that is his power. And sometimes we know by his power in dramatic voice from God through nature. We've seen that a lot in weather patterns of late, and even in the news of the latest. And it reminds us, and people respond to it as a first thing, God, help us. And then sometimes it's in the area of omniscience, meaning all-knowingness. God knows everything. Everything about you, everything involving you, everything that is in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. So as I said, it's a big subject. So how do we bring it down to earth? We bring it down to earth as the disciples of old have done. And in the scripture that we read this morning of John 16, four disciples were processing that question of knowing God. And they had a problem, all of them a similar problem. And the problem was Jesus said, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going away. And each of them responded in a different way because that's what we do. Each of us is different, and the process of knowing God for each of us is somewhat somewhat of a mystery. There's one aspect of God that's most mysterious, and that has to do with the Holy Spirit. You hear a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit. You hear a lot of people reflecting on their relationship to the Holy Spirit. But I would like to suggest to you, in my message to you this morning, that it's about friendship of God. Well, that got away from theological and got down to practical. Very practical. God is your friend. And he has, can I use the term of media today? He would like to befriend you. How many friends do you have? How many friends are worth having? And how much do you know about your friend? All of those are relevant questions to friendship. Now, it just so happens that I'm not only a parent, I'm a grandparent. I'm not only a grandparent, but I have great-grandkids. I want to be friends with them, all of them. And in order to be friends with them, I like to know who their friends are. And I would like for their friends to know me. They, for the most part, don't, because they're in distant places. But I wish I had some control over their choice of friends. Anyone else feel that way about friends that maybe your children have or will have in the days ahead? That's a relevant question for you, the issue of friendship. And friendship is, in fact, what I want to talk to you about this morning, and you have it in your notes in regard to friendship with God. Friendship of God and with God is an activity of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you have friends, you usually choose a best friend. God wants to be your best friend. Very personal, very down to earth, very real. I read a story in the New York Times, having a little trouble getting the slide up here. There we go. I read a recent story in the New York Times, not the newspaper that I might always read, but the story was a very sad story about a young man who just committed suicide and left his story behind. It was a hopeless story. It was a helpless story. It was a story looking for answers in everything but God, and brought such misery that he not only took his own life, but he took the lives of other innocent people. That's a story repeated by desperate people in search of a friend. Missing out on friendship because somehow in his life experience, which included a missing father, as it were, and an abusive relationship from a mother, had given up on human friendship and had nowhere else to turn. It's a story that plagues our heart and our soul. Well, what's the answer to it for us? Well, it's answered in the Word of God, actually, and that's in your notes as well, in regard to how to maintain your friendship with God. Now, let me say this. God is friendly to every one of his created beings. And humankind is the object of his eternal friendship. So it grieves his heart when his friendship is rejected. And he puts within us a desire to see that vacuum of friendship filled with his presence. Thus, it's an issue of the Spirit of God as taught in Scripture. If I might put it in simple words, your relationship to the Holy Spirit is the defining issue in how well you know God and what your eternal destiny will be. You will notice on the back of your notes a place to register an answer to three questions that I'm going to address this morning. Let me tell you the three questions. I won't answer it for you, and I encourage you to answer it for yourself before I conclude in a brief time. Does the Spirit of God live in you, indwell you? That's the first question. The second question, is the Holy Spirit controlling your life choices? The third question, are you experiencing growth in your relationship, guidance, and gifting, which has to do with your activities? Beliefs, values, behavior, if you want to sum it up. God wants to be actively engaged in you. Now, the answer to your questions will determine the answers of your current status of relationship to God. How good of a friend are you? He would like to, first of all, fill you. To know God, trying to move on to the next slide if we can, Josh. There we go, if you can read it. It's the same thing that's on your notes. Be filled with the Spirit for godly living. I start with the one that we usually treat last, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Could I ask you this morning, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, filling is an interesting thing. I was filling a gas can yesterday, and I filled it to overflowing. Sometimes filling overflows. For a particular purpose, it needs fullness in order to overflow. It left a smell behind in the garage because gasoline's a human thing that God created that doesn't smell too pleasant. The smell of the Holy Spirit is very pleasant. One branch of Christianity uses the smell of the Holy Spirit to advance spiritual development. It's the Orthodox Church, very much committed to symbolic actions in their types of service. And so, I had a visit on one occasion in the Middle East when a priest from the Orthodox Church, the Coptic Church of Egypt, came to visit me in the role that I was fulfilling as a missionary. And before he came, he had an agent who came in swinging something around that was letting out smoke that had an odor. Behind him came someone carrying a platter with a Bible on it, a second agent. Then behind him came the Coptic priest, one of 12 at the highest order, walking in. And he came, and as you might suspect, I was sitting by the desk that he was coming to with amazement, my mouth open, and wondering, what should I do? Fall on my face? Bow down? I didn't know what to do. That was a human priest. Imagine God coming into your life in fullness. Wow. The filling of the Holy Spirit sometimes produces dramatic change. Sometimes it produces significant small change, leading to what? More of the likeness of Jesus Christ. The walk of a Christian is seen in that. Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not change the reality of an abiding spirit. The Spirit of God is fully in you, but as you allow him the fullness of you, then he can express himself in overflowing ways that smell wonderful and draw people to worship God. Would you like to have a spirit like that? The Holy Spirit, you can, and he is fully in you. We'll talk about that. Now, the second aspect tells us a few things we need to do to maintain the Spirit. The first of these, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, very short statement, is this: do not, I repeat, do not grieve the Spirit. Have you ever alienated a friend? You can alienate your relationship with God. You can't cancel it because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, it says in Galatians 5. Your salvation, if you've trusted Christ, brought the Spirit into your life, and he won't go away. But if he's unhappy with you, if you have grieved him, and it can also be translated stifle, one translation has it such. If you stifle the Spirit, you disrupt what he wants to do through you. You become disassociated to some degree with what God wants for your life and your living and your walk with God. So be filled with the Spirit, but then maintain it by not grieving the Spirit. The final injunction is a positive. In Galatians 5:16. And it says this: walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walking is such a basic matter, isn't it? It's not really complicated when you think of it in this way. Walking is really a matter of balance. Now, as you age, which some of us do, our walk is not quite as balanced as it used to be. Am I right, older folk? As a matter of fact, sometimes we fall. My friends tell me, who understand about the mechanics of walking, that stumbling is really one of the things that do the most harm to us in our relationship to life itself. Broken bones, yes. Stumbling is, in fact, a reality. We sometimes do not walk as firmly as we should. We sometimes need help in our walk. The best help is a friend who comes alongside to help. Do you know what the words that are used in the New Testament are for the Holy Spirit? That's the teacher in me. I ask the question before I give you the answer. First of all, he is the one called alongside to help. Read John 14 through 16. You'll get the full picture. He's called alongside to help. Stumbling, he anticipates it. He anticipates it, and each stumble reminds you you need his help. So he's called the helper. The second thing that he's called is the comforter. The comforter, that's the word parakletos that we're talking about in the Greek, for those of you that might know some. He's not only called alongside to help, but he's the comforter. Yes, he's the one that brings what you're in need of by way of comfort. And he has a purpose in that comfort, which gives you an idea of why you, too, have stumbled. And that purpose is so you can be a comfort to others. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, Comforter, called alongside to help. The third thing in the scripture that we're called to is to walk in the Spirit. Even though we stumble and we fall, he has a solution that nobody else has. It's confessing our sin. Confession. If we confess our sin, 1 John chapter 2, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Do we sin? Anyone argue against that? I'd like to talk to you after. We sin. When do you admit it? Well, when you're talking to him and relating to him, the reality is he knew you were going to sin and he knows you sinned and he paid the price not only for the sins you made before you came to him, but for the sins you're making now. And so it's an active relationship, not just of saying the words, God, forgive me, but recognizing your need of the Spirit of God to pick you up and set you firmly on a new path. The other word in the Gospel of John for the Holy Spirit is that he's our advocate. Now we're dealing with the Trinity and the matter of knowing God. You see, God cannot accept sin in the presence of his holiness to continue unattended to. The advocate is the role of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has taken alongside the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. And every time you sin, and when you ask forgiveness, Jesus reminds the Father that he died for those sins. He paid the price. You're not guilty any longer. You have a good lawyer, one who takes your case before the Father. That's the Jesus who paid the price for your sin, past, present, and yes, future. Now let me talk about your future sins. That'd take me a long time probably, because each of us would have to say, well, I didn't know I was going to do that, but I did it, or I thought it, or I left it unattended to. Yes, Jesus knows that. You cannot escape that. Why? Because he's omnipresent. He's dealt with it. Why? Because he's omnipotent. He's present, omniscient. Because the Spirit of God is one person of the Trinity, and he's your friend. On your behalf, he wants to draw near to you. Interestingly enough, communion is all about that. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. What do they remember about him? They remember he left. When he left, where'd he go? To the right hand of the Father. So what remains of him with us is the fullness of Godhead in us, the Spirit of God. I'm going to close with that, and this will lead into our communion service, but really I'd like to take those three questions that I presented to you. Let's take the first one. Can you be filled with the Spirit if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? No, you cannot. Why? Because it's in the accepting of Jesus that he comes to dwell in you. You see, this is New Testament. It goes along with and follows the life of Jesus on earth when he died for our sins. The Spirit in the Old Testament did not come to indwell. It did come to empower. And it was present in everything, everywhere. But it did not come to indwell the people of God until the New Testament, after Jesus had come and accomplished the redemption through his death and resurrection, and now his remembrance in communion. So let me say this, if you've never personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, there's no way you can know him as Lord without accepting him as Savior. And if you do accept him as Savior, now it is to you to allow him to live as Lord. So do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't, please talk to us after the service. We'd love to introduce you to our best friend. So the first question is, are you filled with the Spirit? The second question is, are you grieving the Spirit these days? Stifling him? Making him unhappy? Is there something in your love relationship with your neighbor, with your friends, with your classmates, with your neighbors? He wants to help you with that. Confess your sin, and he will forgive you and restore you. And then the third thing is to allow him to help you grow. Growing is a process. None of us are fully mature. Maturity brings balance and control. The Holy Spirit wants to control you. Perhaps you have need for spiritual control in your life. Maybe something else is trying to take over. Maybe the world is trying to take over. It's an enemy. The world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And allow the growth process by attending to your study of the Holy Word of God, because His Word is truth, and it will be your guide. Use your mind to study it. Use your heart to embrace it. Use your spirit to enjoy it in the friendship relationship. Let's pray together. Lord God, your Spirit is present with us, if I read the scriptures right now, and it's speaking to us about things we need to make right. Would you speak to us about forgiveness like our brother Pat spoke to us last week from the strength of his own heart? Would you speak to us in our mind, because some of us don't even read our Bibles much? Would you speak to us in our service? I mean, we can do the little bits, but they don't count unless they're done in the right spirit. You know our works, you know our intents, you know our hearts. Continue to speak to us for Jesus' sake, and do so as we approach communion now in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name.